Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chris Archer for the Pirates with a 1-1 pitch. In the air to left, pretty well hit. Brian Reynolds is back at the wall and leaps up and it's gone. As Trevor Story leads off the third inning with his 11th home run of the year, it's 2-0 Colorado.
A little bit. It's hard not to. Those guys are balling out. And it's a team I used to play for, so I do have some friends on that team. So, yeah, I've seen their success, and it really has no impact on me. It has no bearing. I'm here. I'm capable of doing really, really good things myself.
I'm waiting for those really good things, Chris. Talking to you, Archer, not you, Mueller. But I guess I could direct the comment at you, too.
Yeah, if you're waiting for good for me, you might be waiting even longer than you'll wait for Chris Archer to do something good. Can he really do anything good? Isn't that the genesis of all this? Isn't that the crux? That's what's on tap, by the way. Chris Archer losing again. Brought to you by Fatheads. 15 packs now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. You and I were at the River Sports Book last night.
Hanging out
with people. And we had a good old time. And you were living and dying with the New York Mets in the death throes of your relationship with them.
I survived last night.
You survived.
In a big, big way.
You guys had a fight, but it ended up okay. But here was the thing. You and I were sitting there, and I know you have to acknowledge that this is true because I said it to you.
What did I tell you before the game?
No.
The Rockies are the easiest bet in the world tonight. Take them.
And you did.
With German Marquez against Chris Archer.
And you did.
Thank me later.
And it was at a point in time where the Pirates were trailing 2-0. There were runners on second and third, two outs. I believe you and I were standing waiting to get a burger, and I said, no way is this man getting out of this inning unscathed with no more runs on the board. What happened on the next flipping pitch?
A gap shot.
Yep.
Yeah, defense behind him wasn't great last night. Cervelli screwed up. Reynolds should have caught that ball at the left field wall.
God, and then so what?
Marte butchered that play that we were waiting for
so
burgers
what?
Over.
He's still giving up a ball that goes over the wall. And yes, you can say he should have caught it and he should have. He's still giving up gap
He's
shots.
He's supposed to be an ace. Get strikeouts and go deep into the games. And it's laborious for this guy to get through the fifth freaking inning. His average start in a Pirates uniform is exactly five innings from a supposed ace who you gave up the kitchen sink and then some for. 5.55 ERA in his seven starts this year. Bob Smizek, who is, I think, a well-respected sports columnist emeritus in this town.
Emeritus?
What?
Emeritus? Emeritus?
Emeritus. This is like a weekly occurrence now where like we have a pronunciation battle in the first.
Emeritus sounds like a new Muppet or something like that. Oh, yeah, it's Emeritus.
It sounds
the
like
Muppet.
A Game of Thrones character.
It does, actually. Emeritus got killed by the dragon. What a shame.
Smizek today on Twitter, because I checked this. This is really him. This is not
no, it's
a
the
spoof
real,
account.
It's the real deal.
Smizek on Twitter, the $20 million left on Archer's contract is a, quote, liability. Goes on to write, considering the successes of Meadows and Glasnow, this trade could be historical and franchise-altering and perhaps GM-changing.
I disagree with that last part.
Is this
part.
Bob Smizek hyperbole, or is he on the money?
I think he's on the money in his analysis of how bad this has the potential to be or is shaping up to be. But I think the most important thing he wrote there, or the most impactful thing, suggestion there, is the idea that it would cause Neil Huntington to lose his job. And on that, I disagree categorically. When has the owner of this baseball team proven, maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong here, when has he proven that he is dissatisfied enough with people working for him that he wants to pay them not to work? When Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington both got contract extensions, you might as well have signed those things in blood because they're going to be here for the duration
John
of those
Russell
deals.
John Russell got paid, I think, for a season not to work, but I get your point.
I mean, John Russell, we were at near catastrophic levels, right?
They lost 105 games that year.
And they were trending even worse than that, correct? fair to say? Like, Clint Hurdle, like, got water out of the rock next year with a winning record halfway through the season with Chase Darnot getting a lot of run. So, okay, there's one example. Neil Huntington's not going anywhere. This team, despite how bad that trade is shaping up to be, still might win 80 to 85 games. That's not going to get him fired. That's going to have them right. If that happens, it's going to have them right in the mix until the very end. How do you fire a guy in a small market? Unless you acknowledge, well, I'm not giving him enough resources. So that's why this is happening. I mean,
right, but I mean, when you trade Lou Brock for Brulio, or you trade Tom Seaver for a bag of peanuts in a pencil eraser, like, you know, usually that falls back on the GM. And it's not that just your half of the trade has bottomed out, but it's what the other guys are doing too. And there's still another first-round pick in that trade who hasn't made it to the major leagues yet.
Just with Glasnow and Austin Meadows, it's really bad. If Shane Boz comes through that system and is anything close to like what you'd hope a first-rounder would be, it's the worst trade he's ever executed. And I was thinking about what's the worst trade Neil Huntington's done? And it was the Jason Bay deal.
Oh, see, I was going to say something else.
Well, no, for me, here's my thing. That Jason Bay deal got them like Brian Morris, Andy LaRoche.
Keep going.
Hold on. Now I can't think of the other.
And you're going to quiz me on Pirates history?
Yeah, the other Luminary. Well,
Craig Hansen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Craig Hansen and one other Luminary whose name is escaping me. It was a terrible trade.
The guy who ended up playing.
Was it Jerry Sands?
No, the outfielder who played for the A's, Moss, Brandon Moss.
Brandon Moss, okay. And he blossomed somewhere else, yep. Right, into a great platoon power hitter. Here's my point. That trade was bad because Neil Huntington was trying to replenish a farm system that had nothing and a team that had nothing. And his best asset that he could try to move was Jason Bay, and he got very poor return on it. So that's one thing. But then he did build the team up, obviously, the franchise up, Huntington did. This is a trade that he tried to make in season to make the Pirates better in the short run. He tried to get a hired gun for a couple of years to really push this team over the top into contender status, and he has gutted them of now a guy that's pitching like a team's best pitching prospect would when he comes up, mm-hmm. and a guy that's hitting like a team's best hitting prospect would, and another guy that has a high ceiling. It is an objectively worse trade than the Bay trade because of the auspices under which it was conducted and made.
If I'm the general manager, if I'm above the GM, I'm Frank Coonley, or if I'm an owner who is very active in the day-to-day activities of the Pirates, I'm calling like all of my pitching people into a room. That might include the catcher. It should include Ray Searidge, other scouts, and I'm sitting them all down and I'm asking them, why aren't we getting more out of Chris Archer? Explain this one to me.
He's not too old. He's not too old where you would think physically he would have fallen off a cliff. All of his velocity looks fine. The big problem with him seems to be that nobody's swinging at his stuff outside the zone. I think I brought this up about him last week. Nobody is swinging at the pitches that good pitchers tend to get chases on.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember that big chubby reliever they had, Archimedes Caminero, who came in and threw like 102?
Yeah.
But guys turned it around and hit the crap out of it.
Correct.
Because
he was effective for a small window of time, and then after that, he was still throwing just as hard, and guys were tattooing
right.
him.
Right, and so it's not always how fast you throw, man.
Well, in Archer's case, he wants people to be chasing the slider when he throws it out of the zone. He wants people to be chasing the off-speed stuff that they never have a chance to hit, and they're not. Guys aren't swinging at his swing-and-miss pitches.
So what should be the consequences of making a franchise-altering trade?
Should be and yeah. will be. Those are two very different things. Should be. I think if you give the guy the rest of the year, if the team really falters, it's the kind of trade that could get somebody else fired in another city. He should be on, this is your last chance here. You've got to really turn this around and like build a 90-win team again. But it won't. I don't think there's going to be consequences for this. I think there might be some, and this is goes back to what you're saying about get all your pitching people in a room and ask them about Archer. You could say, why is Tyler Glasnow so good there? Why was he never going to work out here? I'd be looking at the reasons why your support staff couldn't get a guy to where he needed to be and can't get the guy you got in exchange for him to where he was. That's what they specialize in, right? You're supposed to be able to draft and develop your own. They're not very good at that. You're supposed to definitely, in this franchise, be able to rehab guys and figure out how to make a guy who was good once great again and not how to make him the worst he's ever been.
Here's what frightens me. If you're ownership, you want to get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys they're spending big money on, Cervelli and Marte, stink right now.
Mm-hmm. And they, neither one shows any signs of like having another gear. Marte is what he
is. They wavered from their philosophy on hoarding prospects to make this trade, and it's backfired. Like, recency bias I get. What have you done for me lately? But wouldn't, as someone that's doling out the money and providing the product, wouldn't that at least give you pause and make you think, why would we ever give a guy into their 30s a big contract relative to our market size? And why would we ever execute a big trade where we gave up prospects? Seriously.
Once bitten, twice shy?
Yes.
Be hard not to. When return on investment, when ROI is exceptionally important, it would, you know what it would be like? It would be like you're a guy whose name is Egg Shiley, and you bet at the casino, and you bet small amounts, and it goes okay for you, and then you finally push maybe a big amount in, 10 times more than you ever have before, you lose the bet. You're going to go back on your old ways, right? You're going to get extra conservative. You make a $100 bet when you always put $5 down on stuff, and the $100 bet goes belly up for you. You're probably not going to do that again for a long time.
Jack Zarensic's going to join us at 3, our general manager, to talk about Archer and then some. Greg Brown from PNC Park at 5. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. The St. Louis Blues have set up a Stanley Cup matchup, and their win has also brought a song from the 80s back from the dead.
Yeah,
there's a radio station in St. Louis that is playing a song.
What's the Blues
for 24 straight hours? It's their flagship station.
Correct. It's the Blues flagship, and it is quite a song.
What is that song? Is it good? And do you even care about this Stanley Cup final? We'll talk about it next. We got to take a quick break from Chris Archer before my head explodes. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's a legendary broadcaster named Chris Muller. Former Packers tight end JerMichael Finley on the ones and twos. It's the PM team. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.